We come now to our second lesson on conform to the image. We're looking at Romans chapter 8 and verse 29, probably in a way that you might not expect, certainly in a way that I never have seen it and preached it before. But let's continue on. Romans 8, 29, for whom he did foreknow, that is, forelove before the foundation of the world, he did mark off ahead of time, he did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. The Amplified reads, for ordaining them to be molded into the image of his Son and share inwardly his likeness. So not just made like him from the physical appearance, but also in his spiritual appearance, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Let's look at Philippians chapter 2 to start off this afternoon, start off this second message, whatever time it is that you get to listen to this or watch it. Philippians chapter 2 and verse number 12. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God which worketh in you to will and to do of his good pleasure. Those two verses really bring to bear upon the responsibility of sanctification, the involvement of God, but God working in you and you working it out. So you say, well, if I'm predestinated to be conformed to the image of his Son, I can do what I want to. And Paul takes that up in the 6th chapter of Romans. Shall we sin that grace may more abound? You say, well, I just go out and live like I want to because God got me predestinated. No, you're not predestinated to be conformed to the image if you can do that. Because everybody that saith he abideth in Christ, he ought to walk as Christ walked, 1 John 2:6. So if you don't have the desire and put forth the effort to be conformed to his image, you are not being predestinated to be conformed to his image. Philippians 2:12, you work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Philippians 2:13, for it is God that worketh in you. If you can work it out with fear and trembling, that's God working in you to will and to do of his good pleasure. So it is of the Lord, but it's not without your responsibility and without your efforts. So, dear soul, we are looking at those things which bothered Christ. I hate to say it that way, but things that seemed to bother him. And we looked at Luke chapter 2, wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business, in the first lesson. Now, in the second point that I want to bring up, and in John chapter 3, the book of John, chapter number 3, he is disappointed at office holders, spiritual, religious office holders, having a lack of spirituality, personal spirituality. When I use that word spiritual office holders, I'm not talking about those who hold office at the job or in politics or whatever. I'm talking about religion. People who are in religion and are office holders who have no spirituality. That's another thing that disappointed him. In John chapter 3, we know the story. Nicodemus comes. He's a ruler of the Jews, a lawyer, a spiritual headship in Israel, among the highest offices in that nation. And he comes and talks to Jesus, and the Lord has to straighten him out immediately. We know that thou art a teacher come from God, because no man can do these miracles that thou hast done except God be with him. Jesus said, ye must be born again. He had a carnality in the way that he saw and the way he described and depicted the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus wanted to straighten that out immediately. This man was a lawyer, a leader, a ruler of the Jews, a master in Israel. That's the same word in verse number 10. And as Jesus deliberates with him, preaching to him, and Nicodemus said, well, how could that be? Christ comes to ask him a question in verse number 10, and Christ lets out his personal feelings about what Nicodemus is by what he has said to him. How can this be? Can I enter a second time into my mother's womb? Which is a stupid thing to say, but that's what he said. There's nothing any dumber than carnal religion. Listen, so in John chapter 3 and verse 10, after Nicodemus says, ask again, how can these things be? Jesus doesn't answer that. He brings the light to bear upon Nicodemus. John 3:10, Jesus answered and said unto him, how can these things be? That's the question. Here's the answer. Art thou a master, a teacher, a ruler, a rabbi of Israel, and knowest not these things? Stop and think about it. The Lord Jesus Christ is telling Nicodemus, whose day and age had nothing except the Old Testament writings. And that's what Nicodemus was all about, studying of the scriptures and exacting the law and interpreting the law to the peoples. And so his whole life was given in interpreting the scriptures. So he had the Old Testament. And yet the Lord Jesus Christ expected him to know the new birth. How can these things be? Art thou a master in Israel and knowest not these things? Verily I say unto thee, Christ speaking of himself in the third person, we speak what we do know and testify what we have seen, and you won't receive my witness. When he said we, the law said at the mouth of one or two or three witnesses, let every word be established. And Jesus was saying, you have the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit speaking to you, and you won't receive our witness. And it says in your law that you should receive the witness of two or more. And you don't know anything about being born again? He was disappointed, at this office holder's lack of spirituality. In Matthew chapter 22 and verse number 29, Matthew 22 and verse 29, Jesus makes this statement. Jesus answered and said unto them, ye do err, you're mistaken, here's your error, not knowing the scriptures nor the power of God. Now, that was Nicodemus' whole life, interpreting the scriptures. He was a lawyer, not like you think, hire a lawyer to go to court and fight, this charge that has come up against me. No, we're not talking about civil law. We're talking about biblical lawyer. He interpreted the scriptures. He may be involved in civil events and things that needed to be straightened out, but he was a leader and a lawyer of the Jews of Israel. So the one thing that Jesus said that he was an heir of was the scriptures and the power of God. Art thou a master in Israel, a rabbi in Israel, and knoweth not these things? Listen, Jesus said in John chapter 6 and verse number 63, I've quoted it already in the first lesson. Let me read it to you exactly as the Bible says it. John 6:63. It is the spirit that quickeneth, that maketh alive. The flesh profiteth nothing. Carnality, performance of religious tradition profiteth nothing. It's the spirit that makes alive. Listen, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. You need to approach the scriptures, and I have had people that disagreed with this very strongly, that said the scriptures must be looked at 100% literal. Jesus said they ought to be looked at spiritually. Now, it's literally spiritual. If the Bible speaks of Jesus as a shepherd, then I understand it spiritually, what it means that he takes care of his people whom he says are like sheep. But I don't believe that God's Christian people are literally sheep, four-legged, woolly animals. But their character and the way they are dependent upon the shepherd teaches me those things that God would have me to know. So he says, my words are spirit and they are life. And dear soul, if you're going to just take everything literally and just make it a book of do's and don'ts, you're going to be in the same bad shape that Nicodemus was in, and Jesus is going to be rebuking you too. Art thou a master in Israel and knowest not these things? Why don't you know about the new birth? Now that struck me when I first thought about it as being amazing. How can Nicodemus know about the new birth when he had nothing but the Old Testament? That's how naive I was. And I began to study and pray and ask God to help me. Look at Isaiah chapter 11, the book of Isaiah, chapter number 11. Verse number 6. It talks about, you know, I never start where I say I'm going to because I keep reading back up. It talks about the Lord Jesus coming, who is the rod out of Jesse, and a branch, capital B, showing you deity, shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding. And that's what we found out about Jesus in Luke chapter 2. And verse 40, I believe it was, that for 12 years the child grew and the wisdom of God was upon him. So it's talking about God. And then he says in verse 5 of Isaiah 11, and righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. Now listen, you take these verses literal, okay? The wolf also shall lie down with a lamb. Who cares? I don't care what the wolf does. I know the wolf, one of his choice meals is a lamb, his lamb chops. So that's really something. But you're destroying the scriptures if you don't see it spiritually. The wolf also shall lie down with a lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. And the cow and the bear shall feed, and the young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox, and the suckling child shall play on the hole of the asp, one of the most poisonous snakes there is, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the cockatrice den, on the adder's a den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. That's New Testament spirituality, dear friend. That's to be understood. Not just, well, we're going to have some millennial and it's going to change the nature of the beasts. And you can buy you a wolf and put him in the pen with the sheep. And you don't have to worry about a bear coming down out of the hills and killing your cows, because they're going to be buddies. What does that do for my sanctification? What does that do for your sanctification? Nothing. This is talking about the spirituality of the new birth. This is what Nicodemus should have seen and understood. It is preceded in verses 1 through 5 of speaking of the person of Christ. And seeing the prophecy of the person of Christ is to understand the effect of the righteousness of Christ and his redemptive powers that he, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, Hebrews 1:3, and sent forth the promise of the Father, the Holy Spirit, and all things became new. All things pass away. I make all things new, he said. And this is talking about, yes, a reversal of the curse, but not just to the bear and the wolf, not just to the snake, and the lion, but it's talking about those characters that are diametrically opposed one to another, that can't get along, that never have gotten along, but God sending forth his precious Son, the stem of Jesse, the branch out of his roots, the Lord Jesus Christ, he shall come and make all things new. It is like a new birth. And so it is. This is part of that which Nicodemus should have understood and known. But he was of the natural word, of the literal word. He took it literally. I take it literally, literally spiritual. Jesus said, my words are spirit and they are life. And the reason Nicodemus didn't have any life in his heart and mind to understand the things of the new birth is because he did not take the word of God spiritually. He could not see the things of the spirit. That's why Jesus told him, you must be born again. We know that thou art a master and our teacher come from God because no man could do these miracles. And it just had said in John chapter 2 that God was not going to do these miracles for man's, you know, in entertainment. Because he knew what was in man. And here comes a man, Nicodemus. And he proves what Jesus has just said in the last few verses of John chapter 2. So Jesus was disappointed and surprised at spiritual ignorance in his parents in Luke chapter 2. Wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business? But Jesus was also disappointed at officers of the church having no spirituality. And dear soul, the denominationalism of the church has become nothing but big business. Oh, they'll hang a golden cross around their neck with a golden chain on it, or they'll wear, you know, praying hand cuff links or whatever, or a fish hook on their lapel, and they'll go around from different churches. And we're the associational missionary. I have 23 churches under my care. What? Show me that in the scriptures. Dear soul, Jesus was disappointed at officials of the church having no spirituality. You must be born again. Don't you know that? Look at Jeremiah chapter 31. Jeremiah chapter 31. This was in Nicodemus's Bible. I'm not reading you anything that Nicodemus didn't have. Jeremiah 31:33. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. Look at 32, Jeremiah 32, verse 39, one page over. Verse 39. And I will give them one heart and one way that they may fear me forever and for the good of them and for their children after them. And I will make an everlasting covenant with them that I will not turn away from them to do them good. And I will put my fear in their hearts and they shall not depart from me. In verse 38, he said, they shall be my people and I will be their God. I'm going to put a new heart within them. It's a new birth. This understood, spiritually speaking, would have prepared the awareness of this spiritually speaking, would have prepared Nicodemus to receive Christ as Messiah and would have probably set him up to be born again himself. I'm not going to talk to you about Nicodemus, whether he was born again or not. I'm just telling you, Jesus was disappointed that he was a master. He had made it to the top rung. He was a rabbi, but he didn't know anything about the fundamental workings of God in giving men new hearts. Ezekiel chapter 11 and verse 19. Ezekiel chapter 11. You do realize we're reading the Old Testament, right? Which is all that Nicodemus had, which is all that he needed to prepare him for seeing who Christ was. Ezekiel chapter 11, verse 19. And I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within you. And I will take the stony heart out of the flesh, and will give them a heart of flesh. Take the stony heart out and give them a heart of flesh. I'm going to exchange that which is hard as a rock because of sin, because of transgression, because of being separated from God, and I'm going to give them a fleshly heart, a warm, new heart. It's going to be a brand new birth. It's going to be that which is entirely different. Ezekiel 36. Verse number 25. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you. Ezekiel 36:25. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean. From all your filthiness and from all your idols will I cleanse you. Jesus said in John chapter 7 and verse 39, he that believeth on me, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water, but this spake he of the Spirit. He said, when I speak of water, I'm talking about the Holy Spirit. Here we go again. Is water water? Yes, it's H2O, literally. But according to God, who fills all things and set forth everything for you to come to an understanding of God in the Spirit, we understand that the things that are made are there to reveal to us God in his eternal glory. Romans 1:20, you need to read that. The invisible things of him are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead. Trees are there to show you men. I saw men as trees. He shall be planted by the rivers of waters. The tree of life, the Lord Jesus Christ. Sheep, talking about God's people. God just uses everything. Clouds, speaking of the glory of God. We need to understand the duality of everything and understand, what did God mean by this? Why did God create this? What is this in the order of manifesting and revealing God to us? The heavens are not just there to fly in, you know, and get you an airline ticket. It's the heavens declare the glory of God. They are there to reveal God. So Nicodemus was a disappointment to the Lord Jesus Christ. He was disappointed in office holders of his church and of his people. These were the people that were supposed to be helping his elect folks and his sheep, if you will, come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And Nicodemus couldn't do that because he didn't know himself. So shouldn't we be disappointed at office holders who have no spirituality? If we're being conformed to the image of his Son, we should expect other people to know, wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business? We should be surprised and disappointed at spiritual ignorance. We should be disappointed at church men, officers, people who are involved in responsibility to teach God's people, who are doing nothing but trying to lord over God's people and make it something that prospers them financially and exalts them in their reputations. That disappointed God. Why does it not disappoint us? My soul. Ezekiel, did I finish reading 36 verse 25? No, I didn't. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean, and from all your filthiness and from all your idols will I cleanse you. The Holy Spirit coming to cleanse you. A new heart will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them. Ye shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers, and ye shall be my people, and I will be your God, and I will also save you from all your uncleanness. And I will call for the corn and will increase it and will lay no famine upon you. And on it goes. God saying, I will, I will, I will. These are the blessings of the Holy Spirit. And he's not just talking about corn and wine. But he's talking about corn and wine. But he's talking about being nourished by the Lord. And having the new wine of the Holy Spirit. These are the things God expected us to know. But we don't. And we even throw rocks at men who try to preach to us the things of the spiritual meanings and understandings. Well, it's all got to be literal. Well, you go buy you a wolf and put him in the midst of your little, your youngins and grandyoungins. You better be careful, dear friend. The Bible said, The letter of the law killeth. It's the spirit of the word that quickeneth or maketh alive. We should not have pastors or teachers or anybody in any kind of religious offices over us who do not know the realms of the spiritual and cannot interpret the spiritual things with us. Well, let me ask you this. How do you describe God? Well, there are some verses in the Bible that describe God. God is love. Okay. Give me another one. God is spirit. Yep. John chapter 4. But what else does that say? And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. For these are they that the Father seeketh to worship him. For such are they that the Father... Sit still, I'll read it to you. John chapter 4, verse 23. Listen. Verse 24. God is spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. He says in verse 23... For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God doesn't seek anybody to worship him except those who worship him in spirit and in truth. For the letter of the law killeth, it's the spirit of the word that giveth life. Dear soul, if faith cometh by hearing and hearing cometh by the word of God, it doesn't always come by the preaching of the word. He's talking about it cometh by the word of God. In the beginning was the Word. Ah, the Word's a person then who was from the beginning. Who is this Word? The Word was God and the Word was with God. Oh, the Word is God, yeah. Well, how do we know Him? And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father. John 1, 1 through 3 and John 1, 14. Jesus is the Word. Now, do you see any pictures of Jesus? God forbids that. We are to know the Lord Jesus Christ only by the Holy Ghost. Listen, 2 Corinthians 5:15 says, henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet henceforth know we him no more. And the only authorized, God-honored, God-given revelation of the description of Jesus Christ is in the book of the Revelation, chapter 1, and it talks about his eyes are fire and his tongue is a sword and his feet are like brass. So what are you going to do? That is a spiritual revelation, symbolic of what Jesus is like. Find out how brass is like when it's shined up and so bright. Find out what about a two-edged sword that is the voice of his speech. Find out about fire as eyes piercing and devouring everything that's not true. And you come to understand a spiritual understanding of God who is spirit. We should be disappointed with officers in the church who have a lack of spirituality. That's how it should be. Now, there's another thing, moving on to Mark chapter 9. If I can get there, Mark chapter 9. Verse 17. Another thing that Jesus was disappointed in was a lack of the exercise of faith. In Mark chapter 9 and verse 17, one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him. He foameth and gnasheth with his teeth and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they could not cast him out, that they should cast him out, and they could not. Listen at verse 19 of Mark chapter 9. He answered him and said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him to me. And they brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him. And when the spirit saw Christ, he throws himself into a fit, knowing that he's fixing to be cast out. And he fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming. He asked his father, how long is it ago since this came upon him, unto him? And he said, of a child. And oft times it hath, the demon hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Two times he used the word believe. Here was a faithless generation talking about his disciples because they could not exercise faith. It had to do with their believing in Christ. And straightway the father of the Lord cried out, and straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. I don't know about your disciples. I don't want to throw rocks at them. I'm not concerned with them. My heart is just given to my poor son who has this horrible demon that's always trying to either burn him to death or drown him. And he falls on the ground foaming and wallowing. And Lord, is my faith enough? I believe. And whatever is lacking in my belief, please help me. I want you honored. I want you believed in my heart in a perfect way. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more into him. And the spirit cried and rent him sore, tore him sore, and came out of him. And he was as one dead, insomuch that many said, he is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand, lifted him up, and he arose. And when he was coming to the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could we not cast him out? And he said unto them, this kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. We are too full. We do not enter into prayer like we should. Pray without ceasing. How do you do that? You learn that prayer is not now lay me down to sleep, folding your little hand and saying stuff out loud, but it is a meditating upon God in your heart and mind constantly. And it is denying the flesh, not fasting for fasting's sake. Well, it's 2 o'clock, it's time for our fast. No, not fasting by the clock, but fasting with such a desire for God to move upon something that you forget about eating. Forget about eating. That ain't us. That's what I'm talking about. Jesus was disappointed with those who did not have the exercise of faith. Oh, ye of little faith, you faithless generation. How did he know they were faithless? Because they couldn't cast this demon out of him. Could they have cast him out if they had done it by prayer and fasting? Evidently, Jesus said they could. Dear soul, we have so far removed ourselves from supernatural workings that the devil is not scared of us anymore. We got demon-possessed people sitting in our pews. They seem to be nice, and they talk a good talk, and they dress like we do, and they even get the Bible and read and give devotions and such as that. They're not afraid of us. Why? Because we're not supernatural anymore, because we're not spiritual anymore, because we do not seek God in such an urgency that we forget to eat. And we don't pray without ceasing. The Bible said, in all things give thanks. If we would just start doing that, you go through a dangerous intersection and you don't thank God for it. You go and lay yourself down on your bed and you don't have the virus. You don't thank God for that. In all things give thanks. You get a phone call from your son or daughter or grandson or granddaughter, and they talk about how good things are in their life, and you don't thank God for that. You go to the ATM and you stick your card in there and the cash comes out, and you pat yourself on the back and say, well, I worked hard for this money. Or do you give thanks to God for that? And you think about these things that I'm trying to preach to you and trying to show you what conformity to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ is all about, that we must work these things out with fear and trembling, for it is God that worketh in us to will and to do of his good pleasure. Are you working with God? Are you co-workers with the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you having God to help you to be conformed to his image now? Are you putting off your responsibility for sanctification now because you have a hope of God just throwing a switch and making you glorified in eternity? Are you a sinner? Did God save you? Do you let a day go by that you don't thank him for that? In all things, give thanks. If we would come back just to that and meditate upon God and include him in things. And dear soul, I know we have to put up with people and circumstances and the laws of nature and all that stuff. And if we drop a glass and it hits the floor and it breaks, that's what gravity does, you know. That's just the way it is. And we go through life just saying, well, that's just the way it is. Well, that ain't just the way it is. This is God working in us to will and do of his good pleasure. And do you thank the Lord for his kindness to you? We need to get back to praying without ceasing. We need to get back to, in all things, give thanks. we need to exercise our faith. We need to do what the Lord instructed these people to do. Mark chapter 11. Did I read that? Verse 20. And in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursest is withered away. And Jesus answering saith unto him, Have faith in God. Wait a minute. We're talking about a tree. We ain't talking about faith in God. Well, that's right, but we should be. How did Jesus' mind look at the dead fig tree, have faith in God? Peter said, well, there's a fig tree. It's just dried up and dead. It ain't never going to be anything anymore. You can't bring it back to life. It's just useless. And Jesus said, this is a lesson concerning faith. Have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, now here comes the lesson, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, I thought we were talking about fig trees. Well, have not the prophets of old used the fig tree to describe Israel? And is not Israel described also as being a holy mount? So the Lord is using spiritual terminology, and we need to be able to follow along with the Lord when he says this. We need not to have to go get Jameson, Fawcett, and Brown to be able to understand why did he go from the fig tree to this mountain? And why did he go from the fig tree to having faith in God? We should have a spiritual heart and spiritual mindedness to know and follow along with the teaching of Jesus. What an abrupt response to Nicodemus. Good master, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. You must be born again. That ain't what we were talking about. That's what we should be talking about. That's what Jesus is saying, and this is what's missing in today's church. We have a form of godliness, but deny the power thereof. God, have mercy on us. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Mark 11:23, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea. Take this reprobate nation and cast it among the nations of the world. That's what the sea represents. And shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass. He shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire when ye pray, believe that ye shall receive them and ye shall have them. Well, you know, we get our prayer list. And sometimes I don't forget to get it out. It's in my Bible. I'll find it in there next Sunday when I go to church. Is there anything so necessary and needful in your life that you can't get it off your mind and you keep it before the Lord? That's what he's talking about. That's what he's talking about. Dear soul, pray without ceasing. In all things give thanks. Rejoice evermore. There's a spiritual man that should never be dormant. He should always be in the presence of God. And if he forgets to eat, so what? That's how we have God to bring. We bring God to bear upon demon-possessed people. That's how we bring God to bear upon circumstances that are absolutely impossible. And that's why God put them in your life, to show you that these things are impossible. But with God, all things are possible, and you are the one who calls yourself and myself Christians. So we should be able to bring God Almighty to bear upon impossible things. And that's how the saints of God rule the world. And at Revelation chapter 8, we call on God through the redemptive work of Jesus Christ and the cross and blood of the Lamb of God by the Holy Spirit. And it's not just enough to say, now lay me down to sleep, pray the Lord's soul to keep. But involve yourself in the impossibilities of life and bring God to bear upon it. God would hear from you. God would work on your behalf. Why are we not disappointed in a faithless generation like Jesus was? That's the way that it was. One of the reasons, dear soul, Galatians 5:6, is because that our love has grown cold. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 6. And we only need to read the last phrase. But faith which worketh by love. Why are we a faithless generation? Because the faith that worketh by love is not powerful anymore because our love has grown cold. You have lost your first love. You have left your first love. That's what he told that church. You have left your first love. Dear soul, if we love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, we would be consumed with his desires and consumed that he would be glorified and not be satisfied with, now lay me down to sleep, pray the Lord. Son. Oh, my soul. And one of the things that I want to get to, Mark chapter 6, and this will probably be it for today. The book of Mark, chapter 6. Mark chapter 6, verse 46. Mark chapter 6, verse 46. And when he had sent the multitude away, he departed into a mountain to pray. And when even was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he alone on the land. Disciples in the middle of the sea, in the ship, and he was up on land. And he saw them. Dear soul, just because Jesus is not immediately in your presence and you can't visibly see him, doesn't mean that he's not looking at you and caring about you and seeing after you. You should never forget that. The eyes of the Lord go to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in behalf of those whose heart is perfect towards him. God's watching you. Listen. And he saw them toiling and rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he cometh unto them, walking upon the sea. That which is troubling you, Jesus is Lord over. He's walking on it. And would have passed them by. Would have passed by them. You say, well, that's strange. Why does it say that? Because he wanted them to start wanting him. And he wanted to show them that they're in a mess. Seasoned sailors, seasoned fishermen, this was their domain. They fished and sailed on this sea all their life. But it was too much for them now. And God will let that which is normal and natural and things that you just thought you could control to get on top of you and become a death threat to you, especially to your peace. And he sees you, and he says, I'm going to present myself to him, but I'm going to act like I don't even see him. I'm not even going to look at him. I'm going to act like I'm going to walk right by him to see if they really will cry out to me. But when they saw him walking upon the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit and cried out. For when they saw him, and were troubled. For they all saw him and were troubled. Good. Now they're not troubled about the sea, they're troubled about him. Whatever the situation was with him, whether they thought he was a spirit or not God or was God and whatever, at least their minds were no longer on the sea and the danger. Now it was upon the person of God. And immediately he talked with them. Quit trying to walk by him, turned around and talked to him. It may surprise you that impossible thing in your life that just absolutely destroys you and it's just consuming your confidence and eating up your spirit. Excuse me. Has been placed there by God to get your attention. And it may surprise you that if you quit talking about the situation only and start talking about Jesus to the Lord Jesus, things may begin to turn around and you'll be started on the road for God to show you his mighty power. And immediately he talked with them and said unto them, be of good cheer, it is I. Be not afraid. Wonderful words of life. And he went up unto them into the ship, and the wind ceased. Excuse me. Got air in my throat. Listen. When he got into the ship, the wind ceased, and they were sore amazed in themselves. Listen, beyond measure, and wondered. They're wondering that Jesus, who said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you, I'll be with you throughout the end of the world, to the end of the world, is going to help them? Yep. Listen, they were sore amazed in themselves and wondered, amazed themselves beyond measure. Now listen at verse 52. This is going to really shock you. Why were they amazed beyond measure and wondered? For they considered not the miracle of the loaves. What? We're going to start talking about bread? Yep, that's the problem. Why were they amazed beyond measure and wondered? For they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened. A previous miracle of the Lord Jesus to supply their need. So pitiful, hungry, hundreds of them hungry, starving. And he brings forth more than they need. Baskets full of bread is gathered up after the miracle of feeding the thousands. But they don't care. They don't glorify God. God seeketh such to worship him. Who? Those that worship him in spirit and in truth. What's the first step in apostasy? Neither were they thankful. Unthankfulness is the first step in apostasy, and their foolish heart was darkened. Dear soul, you need to start thanking God. Praying without ceasing, rejoicing evermore. In all things give thanks. Everything give thanks. Every little thing. Everything, whether it's you consider it little or big or what. Don't leave God out of a second of your life. That's how you maintain your spirituality. That's how you do not bring forth spiritual ignorance and have Jesus say, "Wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business? I'm very God, of very God, and I should be about God's business. And you didn't know that? You don't want to hear that. Oh, dear soul, you don't want to be an officer in religion today and say, "We know that all the teacher come from God," and him say, "You need to be born again." He disregards totally your line of thought. And he questions you and say, "How did you get to be a master in Israel and not know these things?" And then here is Jesus making himself strange to them, going to walk right by them. This sea that they depend on for their livelihood is about to kill them, drown them all. And he's just going to walk right on by them. If you ignore God, he will ignore you. If we get to calling God common and become familiar with him in such a way that it brings contempt, and we think that he ought to be a sugar daddy or a fire extinguisher hanging on the wall, fire extinguisher, and just using to put out the fires. Oh, Granny's in the hospital. Oh, why'd Jesus let this happen? Be careful. If you want Jesus at any time, you must have Jesus at all times. You must worship the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy spirit, with all thy mind. Him only shall thou serve. And you must remember that when he gives you bread, don't take it for granted. Turn around. Be that tenth leper. Turn around and give him thanks. Dear soul, because unthankfulness is the first step into apostasy. And he says, they were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure and wondered, for they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened. I got just a few more minutes. I want to show you something else. In chapter 8 of Mark, verse 14. Now the disciples had forgotten to take bread. Neither had they in the ship with them more than one loaf. So he begins teaching them. And they got their mind on bread. They got their mind on not having any bread. They got their mind on things that was necessary for the sustaining of the spirit. Excuse me, of the flesh. This type cometh only by prayer and fasting. But they're not going to be fasting. They were worried about bread. So Jesus starts teaching them. Mark 8 and verse 15. And he charged them, saying, "Take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the leaven of Herod." He's talking about covetousness. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, what's he talking about? Well, it's because we have no bread. And when Jesus knew it, he saith unto them, "Why reason ye because ye have no bread?" Is that the way you think when I start teaching you about covetousness and the leaven of the Pharisees? "Perceive ye not yet?" That word "yet" in Mark chapter 8 and verse 17 takes you back to them having their heart hardened in chapter 6. Verse 51 and 52, because they didn't trust in the Lord and didn't give him glory. "Perceive ye not yet, neither understand? Have ye your heart yet hardened?" Are we going back to bread again and you're going to get your heart hardened again? I'm trying to teach you about covetousness in the Pharisees. And there you go talking about bread again. "Hearing, having eyes, see ye not?" Can't you see the spiritual things? "And having ears, hear ye not?" Do ye not remember? Don't you remember what trouble you got into last time when your mind was on loaves of bread and you didn't give God the glory and it hardened your heart? Are you going back to that and repeat that sin over and over again? Are you going to say, this is part of my religion, that we go to church, we sing our song, we say our prayers, we hear our message, and we go home, and then next week we go back and, where did I put my Bible? Oh, I threw it over there on the table. Yeah, that's right. We'll blow the dust off of it and let's go again, because we got to go to church and sing our song and hear our prayers and hear our message and then go home. You're going to get your heart hardened practicing religion. When I break the five loaves among 5,000, how many basketfuls of fragments took ye up? They said, 12. I'm reading Mark 8 and verse number 20. And when the seven among 4,000, how many baskets full of fragments took ye up? And they said, 7. And he said unto them, how is it that ye do not understand? Jesus was disappointed in the disciples that he had been breaking bread and multiplying it for them because they continued hardening their hearts with his miracles rather than coming to a spiritual understanding of what God was all about. This all is going to be sad at the end of the age. When people who have dedicated themselves to religion, I mean dedicated themselves, worked hard at it, hear him say, depart from me, ye that work iniquity, I never knew you. Cast them into outer darkness. What? We were the organized religion. We were the Bible Belt. We were those people that really gave ourselves over to the Lord. Well, I'm sorry. Everything I did, you took it to yourself and gobbled it all up, never give me any glory. It hardened your heart. Wow. Wouldn't it be awful that our religion helped us go to hell? Oh, but I'm conformed to the image of his dear son. No, you're not. Not unless you have a spiritual understanding of the things of God. This is the message that God gave me. This is all I know to tell you. This is all I ever tell you is what God gives me. You pray for me, I'll pray for you. God have mercy on us. Amen.